There's a Gemara in Bava Kamma. It's mentioned not only in Bava Kamma and Memalos, it's also mentioned in six other places in Shas. It's actually a very famous Gemara, but not only famous because people know what it is, but it's in the Shivish Masechtos as well. That Nechemya or Shimon Amsuni, one of the two, darshaned every oath in the Torah, every S in the Torah. When he got to every single S, he had something that he could include from it, something that he was able to be marva from it. That's what he got to. Until he got to the line of Es Hashem Elokecha Tzira. When he got to the line of Es Hashem Elokecha Tzira, that you have to fear God the same way you should fear something else, that he said, I can't. The Gemara says, Uporish. He separated from it and he said, I'm not going to do anything. And that's the famous line. They said to Nechemya or Shinam Suni, what are you going to do with all the S that he darshaned up until now? And he said, Keshem Shikibalti Tzchala, Drisha Kakibalti Tzchala, Prisha. I'll appreciate that just like I got scar for darshaning them, I get scar for staying away from them, for understanding that this is not what I'm supposed to do. The Gemara says, Ad Shabbat Rabbi Kiva. Up until Rabbi Kiva came along, the Omar, Es L'Rabos Talmidei Chachamim, said that the Es, by Es Hashem Elokecha Tzira, includes Talmidei Chachamim. That you should fear Talmidei Chachamim the same way that you fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, that's Yira. We have to understand what that means. It's not fear. Because there's no real such thing as fear by Talmidei Chacham where you're afraid they're going to do something to you. This is not when you're a third grader and you think your Rebbe's going to hit you, which is possible depending on what school you go to. That's not the issue over here. We're not worried about an actual fear of being afraid as your Rebbe is walking down the street. It's Yira used in another term, and that's awe. To be used in a term of awe, that the same awe that one has for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, knowing how great God is, and yet I get to daven to Him. Knowing how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, and the fact that there's the whole world goes according to His word. That awe that I feel for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you are awesome. That's the same type of awe that one should feel for Talmidei Chachamim. And that's the line that Rabbi Akiva was using, that Es L'Rabos Talmidei Chachamim that way. Now certainly, and Rabbi Kiva sort of takes this as a given, there has to be kavod. Yira is a secondary thing. Kavod is an automatic. Now kavod means you stand up for them when they walk into a room, a talmid chacham or a rav, stand up when they walk into a room, you offer to take something for them, if they're holding svarim, you offer to get something for them, whether it's food or drink or whatever it is, that's a given. The given is that we already treat them with honor. The kavod is already there. But there's an added point that Rabbi Kiva wants to put over here. And Rabbi Kiva says it's not only honor that you need to give to Talmidei Chachamim. There's a yira, there's an awe that they're due to the Torah that they learn. Not only an honor for the Torah they learn, but an awe that they get. As if you're scared to talk to them. Not because they're going to hurt you, not because they're going to say something to you that's annoying. It's not that. It's an awe. You just, how do you speak to someone who's on such a different level than I am? And that's what the awe should be for Talmidei Chachamim. I understand that that's difficult to do. You don't really get that by many Talmidei Chacham. Talmid Chacham, remember, is not the highest level of a person. A Chacham would be the highest level that a person can get to. A person who's a Chacham, already on a huge Madrega, a Rebel Yashiv type, a Reb Chaim Knievsky type, that's a Chacham. A Talmid Chacham is on a lower level. We're talking about somebody who's still a Talmid of a Chacham. He's up there, but he's not yet there. He's getting there. He's trying to get to that point. And nonetheless, says Rabbi Kiva, even a Talmid Chacham, even that person who's just a Talmid Chacham, even he deserves the awe that you should give to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's an amazing point. To go up to Rav Aaron Leib Steinman and to be in awe of him, again, I'm not scared of Rav Aaron Leib Steinman, he couldn't hurt a fly, but to be in awe of him, that I definitely could do. To be in awe of Rav Chaim Knievsky, that I could definitely do. To be in awe of somebody, even who not everybody would consider on the level of a Chacham. But some people would. I can understand that. There are people there on both sides of the coin, when you go to, either when you come to Haredi or Mizrahi sides, where you are in awe of speaking to them. I found it nearly impossible to speak to Rav Aaron Lichtenstein in Gush. Nearly impossible. Not only because he uses English words that I've never heard of, and most dictionaries haven't even heard of, but it's just impossible. He's a special person who's been learning for so long, it's almost like, I don't even know how to say it. It's hard to speak to some of the people that we have here that are speaking in front, and I'm introduced to them as Mashkiach of the Yeshiva. I'm almost embarrassed to say that I'm the Mashkiach of this Yeshiva. They look at me and say, you? Little bit of a joke. bit of a joke. To me, that's how I feel. I feel like I can barely go up to that person. See, that's the awe that you should have. We have to understand something there. Who would have thought that? Who really would have thought to equate HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a Talmid Chacham? Not only to a Chacham, but to a Talmid Chacham. Who would think that? That's number one. Number two, why would they think that way? Why is that true? That is seems to be such a silly rule. A Talmid Chacham deserves the same awe that I give to a HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That I understand the concept, but to actually do it, to have a Havamina, I get it. To treat them almost as if they're a HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I get it. But to equate them, Rabos Talmid Chachamim, that they get it, you gotta be kidding me. Who would make that? Why would they make that? That's really it. Why is it necessary? So let's try to understand that. It's a Gemara in Shabbos, and that Lamed Aleph Amid Aleph. The Gemara in Shabbos is famous, and we mentioned one part of this Gemara last week. A ger, another ger, comes up to Hillel HaZaken. He goes up to Hillel HaZaken and he says, Torah Shebichtav, Ani Mamincha. When it comes to Torah Shebichtav, the written Torah, I believe you that that was given from our Sina. That I get, and that I'll do, I'm willing to learn it. Torah Shebal Peh, Ani Mamincha. I don't believe you. I don't think I'm going to listen. I don't want to do that. So make me a ger, he said. A Sunni ger, make me a ger, on condition that I only have to learn Torah Shebichtav and I don't have to learn Torah Shebalpeh. If you make me a ger in that condition, I will be a ger. I'm willing to be a ger on condition I only have to go on the Chumash and nothing else. That's what he told him. Now Shammai took out an Amas Abinyan, a little, like a long yardstick that was a little bit thicker, and smacked him in the head and he said, get out of my business. Hillel came in and sat him down and he taught him. And says the Gemara, he taught him Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. And the next day, Apichwe, he turned it around. And says Rashi, he taught him Tav, Shin, Resh, Kuf. Lots of kashas on what Rashi means by that. The Rishonim darshan a little bit differently. Some say he said Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, and then he taught him Dalet, Gimel, Beis, Aleph. He taught him that way, and that's what Apichwe means. But according to Rashi, it's Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Tav, Shin, Resh, Kuf. Kashi is, what exactly was he trying to say? But okay, let's go on. The ger said to Hillel, but yesterday you told me the opposite. Yesterday you told me Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. Now you're telling me Tav Shin Resh Kuf. What happened? What's the difference? To which Hillel said the line. He said, Lav alayzi di kosamasa. You're being so mech on me that I'm telling you pshat. So okay, Dal Pan Nami smoke alay. The Torah Shebal Peh is also, you have to be so mech on me. Meaning, if you're relying on me to learn just the Chumash, just to learn the letters of the Torah, then you should rely on me for everything. And Torah Shebaal Peh as well, believe me for everything that's there. Now, I would tell you that the answer that Hillel gave, although brilliant in its own right, is very hard to understand. If I'm that here, and Hillel just said that to me, and he told me, Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet, and then told me, Tav Shin Resh Kuf, and I said to him, Hillel, what are you doing? You just told me the opposite last week, right? And he tells me, well, if you're going to rely on me for this, then you might as well rely on me for that. I'm going to look at him, and I'm going to say, well, of course I have to be Sumach on you in order to get to the Shebichtav. But when I get to the Torah Shebichtav, let me read the Torah, and I'll come up with my own interpretations. Meaning the letters, I understand. I need to get just the basics down. Let me get the little basics. It's the complexities that I have an issue with. I mean, isn't that what the gear really had an issue with? He didn't really have a problem with the basics. The basics he understood. It was the complexities, the little things in between. When he looks at Hillel and he says, why should I believe you? What, then I have to tie, I have to put on my right shoe first and my left shoe first. And if I'm a righty, then I have to tie in my left shoe and then my right shoe. And if I'm a lefty, I should tie in my right shoe and then my left shoe. I don't understand. Why should I believe you on that? Where does Torah Shebaal Peh come from? The fact that I have to rely on you in order to get the Torah Shebaal Peh, of course I have to. But these little intricacies, which can't really be explained away, how am I supposed to rely on you with that? Meaning, I would have said, what in the world does that mean? But I think it's deeper than that. I don't think this is a pashut. It's not that Hillel was teaching him the Aleph-Beis. I don't think he was teaching him the Aleph-Beis. That anybody could teach. You really think that Hillel was wasting his time? He's a Rosh Hashiva and a Nasi. He's the head of Klal Yisrael. He's sitting down with the Ger. Don't tell me this before he became a Nasi. Shammai was right there. He just went to Shammai. He went to Shammai's Beis Medrash and he kicked him out. This means Hillel is a Rosh. He's a Nasi. He's a Rosh Yeshiva. Isn't he sitting down Gerim and teaching them Aleph Beis? He doesn't have enough people around who can teach him Aleph Beis. Hillel himself sat him down and taught him Aleph Beis. There's something going on here. This guy must have been an important figure and he's not teaching him Aleph Beis. Aleph Beis anybody can get. The guy knew Aleph Beis. He's teaching him Halakha Aleph, Halakha Beis. Beis, Halacha Gimel, Halacha Dalet. You're teaching them one svara. This is why we do this, and this is why we do that, and this is why we do this, and this is Shafia, and this pasuk, that's how you translate this, this pasuk, that pasuk, this pasuk. And then the next day he told them an exact opposite svara. An exact opposite svara. A simple pasuk. And he translated it one way which sounded so clear. And he read it. Bereishis bara Elokim et ha-shamayim et ha-aretz. The way you read that, said Hillel, was in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That's what he told them on day one. And day two, he turned around and he told them, here's how you read it. Bereishis bara shis. He created 6 hours of the day where Klal Yisrael was going to mess up with the Egel Azar, and that was the continuation of the Yetzer Hara. And then he told them, bara Elokim. If you take the words and you switch them around a little bit, it stands for Ayel Avraham. He was teaching them a totally different shot in the same word, and it still worked out within the text, and he was teaching them how to read the Chumash in a totally opposite way. To which the Gerizim said to him, that's not what you said yesterday. You told me yesterday this is it. To which he told them, that's what Torah Shabbat Peh is. Torah Shabbat Peh is not just to learn one way, we have to learn all the svaras. There's so much to it. Torah Shabbat Peh is not simple that way. In order to understand something, you have to know all the different svaras. Reb Meir was so important for Klal Yisrael, even though we don't paskin like Reb Meir. We never paskin like Reb Meir. But he brought down every shita, so you can understand both sides of the coin. Here's one svara why this is so. Here's another svara why this is so. It's so important to have a chavrusa for that reason. Even if you always think your chavrusa is wrong. And he might be. But in your mind, you're learning up one way. You need a counterbalance. You need a sounding board for you to say something and for it to be bounced back at you so you can understand both sides of the coin. So everybody has to get married. So you finally learn what it means to be wrong. That's what it really is. To have somebody there who's able to tell you that, no, don't say this way, say that way. See, this is what Hillel's telling the Ger. You want to learn Torah. You want to understand what the Torah Shabbat is saying. There's so many different ways of learning up the Pashat, Shat, the Psukim as they are. I can teach you Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet, and I can teach you Tuperet Shin Resh Kuf. And I'm telling you, if you're going to believe me on these, if you're going to believe me on the first shot, just Pashat Shot, how to read the actual words, then believe me in the other svaras, that the other svaras are part of Torah as well. I think that's what he's trying to say. Said Hillel, and this is really what he's saying, you can't just make stuff up on your own. You need a Rebbe. What svar is correct and what svar is incorrect? How are you supposed to understand one way? How are you supposed to understand the other way? Now, if a person is mizalzel berabo, and he starts treating his Rebbe with disrespect, or saying he doesn't deserve that year, even if he's a Talmud Chacham, because he's a Talmud Chacham, let's call it, because he's only a Talmud Chacham, he doesn't deserve my respect, then he's mizalzel not just in his Rebbe, he's mizalzel in Kola Torah Kola. Every bit of Torah that there is out there, he'll never understand anything correctly. Because everything that there is in the Torah, he'll think his own svaras, which he'll never have a sounding board or somebody up against him. And even though his Rebbe is saying the opposite, he'll think I'm right. And he's being mizalzel in the entire Torah. He's thinking that this is the only way to learn. He'll destroy the Torah from him. He'll destroy the pshat. He'll destroy the drush. Come up with a pile of garbage. And there's no one to help him. This is what Rebbe Akiva said. They not only deserve honor for the work that they put into it, these Talmid Chacham. Of course they deserve honor. The honor is one thing. You need awe. There needs to be something more. See them as literally the last bastions of our faith. That without them, the Torah would be destroyed. There'd be nothing left. If there was no Rebbeim who were able to give down how to learn Gemara, or how to learn Chumash, or how to learn Halacha, if there was no one there who was able to teach it that way, then yeah, you're going to end up with literally nothing. Literally nothing. I think that's the concept of what Rebbe Akiva was trying to say and trying to get Yira over. Now, why Rebbe Akiva? Why him? Why was he so important to this? That Nechemya Hamsuni and Shimon Hamsuni, and I would assume all the other Talmidei Chacham there, weren't able to figure this out. Rebbe Akiva was not a lone soldier. Aside from the 24,000 Talmidim, it doesn't say when this was. Aside from the 24,000 Talmidim that Rebbe Akiva had. Rebbe Akiva had brilliant Talmidim at the end of his life, and there were brilliant Talmidei Chavarim at the times of Rebbe Akiva. Remember, Rebbe Elizabeth Azariah, Rebbe Tarfon, Rebbe Yishmael, his Rebbeim, Rebbe Eliezer, Rebbe Akiva, Rebbe Yoshua. They were all around, I would assume, Rebbe Gamliel, Rebbe Shimon ben Gamliel. It could be you have had hundreds of other people. Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava, Rebbe Yehuda ben Sarah, Ben Azai ben Zoma, Ben Elisha ben Avuya before he went off. It's federal. You have all these people there. So why him? Why Rebbe Akiva? What's so important for us to know that Rebbe Akiva did this? Gemara Pesachim. Memphesim Abeis brings down Tanya Omer Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva says, Kshayisi Amaoritz. When I was in Amaoritz and I knew nothing, when I knew absolutely nothing, Amarti Miyitin Li Talmud Chacham. I said, who would give me a Talmud Chacham? Look at the word. Who would bring me a Talmud Chacham? Vanashchenu Kechamor. I would bite him like a donkey. Bite him like a donkey. Only somebody would bring me a Talmud Chacham, I'd bite him like a donkey, says Rebbe Akiva. Amrullah Talmidim, his Talmidim said to him, Rebbe, Emor Kekelev, say you bite him like a dog. Why a donkey? It's such a line. Amrullahan, Zen no sheikh b'shover etzem. Zen no sheikh b'ein b'shover etzem. A donkey bites, and when it bites, it breaks bones. But a dog, when it bites, will cause a wound, but it won't break a bone. Me, says Rebbe Akiva, I would have bitten him and I would have broken his bones, says about that Talmud Chacham. There's a lot to this, and there's a reason why it's Chamor and why it's not Kelev. Obviously, there's other things behind this Gemara. But in the simple shot, what's Rebbe Akiva trying to say? Rebbe Akiva is specifically saying a Talmud Chacham. A Chacham I can't deal with, says Rebbe Akiva. A Chacham I can't fight. A Chacham's too great. That's at a level beyond me. I'm not going to be able to fight a Chacham. But a Talmud Chacham, you bring me a Talmud Chacham, I'll show you a guy that I could fight. Because Rebbe Akiva was brilliant. He was a brilliant man. Ruchel saw it. His wife saw it. And that's why he went out to yeshiva and he was able to learn and he became the person that he became. But he was a brilliant man even when he was in Amaretz. So when he was in Amaretz and he knew nothing. Knew nothing. He knew that he could argue his way out of absolutely anything. You tell me a svara, I'll knock it out. Give me a Talmud Chacham. Somebody who's not yet ready for everything. Somebody who's still working on himself, and I will destroy him, said Rebbe Akiva. I will destroy him because his whole life, at that point, up until he was 40, was about destroying the Talmud Chacham and saying, I'm going to do what I want to do. Rebbe Akiva knew better than anyone else. Better than anyone else, because he was that guy. You need a Rebbe. Until you have a Rebbe, you're nothing. Until you have a Rebbe, you don't know anything. He only looked at himself after he became the Rebbe Akiva. He looked back at what he thought he knew when he was 20, 30, 35, 39. And he looked at himself and said, I knew nothing. I thought I knew everything in the world. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was great. I was a nobody. I knew nothing, says Rebbe Akiva. And I look at myself now and I say to myself, the reason why I knew nothing is because I never had a Rebbe. Never had a teacher. I had no one to be able to look up to. I treated Talmid HaChamim as if they were garbage. And I never did anything with it. So I was a smart man. A guy who could argue. A guy who could put up svaras. But I wasn't anything. And that's what he was saying. So Rebbe Akiva, the man who was willing to bite Talmid HaChamim like donkeys and destroy them and knock them down, he said, this is what you need. You know what you need? You need to be in awe of Talmid HaChamim. Take that awe and put it in there. Once you have that awe, you won't be like what I was. What I was. It's so funny. I don't know if I should add this on. It's a svar of mine. I'm not positive. It's really... There's a Gemara in Yevamos Daf Tzadayin that says Rebbe Akiva went along with Rebbe Yoshua and Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah when they heard that Dosef and Hyrcanus had matred up Tzaraf Erev. If you don't know what I'm talking about, don't worry. Just to Yevamos. But he matred up Tzaraf Erev. So they went together to go ask Dosef and Hyrcanus if he had matred it up. They went to Dosef and Dosef and Hyrcanus said, it wasn't me. Maybe it was my brother. My brother is a brilliant man. He learned by his Shammai, and he has 300 halachos, reasons why he's correct, that Tzaraf Erev is mutter. He has 300 reasons, so don't meet up with him. So Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and Rabbi Akiva went their different ways. Rabbi Akiva went straight after Ben Hyrcanus. Straight after Ben Hyrcanus. Went after Ben Hyrcanus, found Ben Hyrcanus. Now remember, this is while he's still under Rabbi Yeshua, which means, at the time, he's still a Talmid Chacham. And he goes and fights Ben Hyrcanus, and he loses. He loses against Ben Hyrcanus. Ben Hyrcanus says, you're Rebbe Akiva. You're Akiva whose name has gone throughout the world. You're not even a Roe Tzon. And Rebbe Akiva got up and said, I'm not even a Roe Bucker. Why, there's so much awesome telling this. I'm sober in Parshas Yisro that explains what that machlokas is. But I was thinking, that this is the pshat. Rebbe Akiva, even as a Talmud Chacham, he saw what happens when people don't have that awe. They become like Ben Hyrcanus, who do things on their own, who have their own reasons for everything. And if they don't treat others with respect, they just go ahead. They're not going to listen to anything they say. Rebbe Akiva wasn't convinced. Rebbe Akiva still passing like they say, oh, that Tzaraf Erev is usher. He's still passing that way. But he saw what happens to a person who doesn't give that awe over to tell me to come. Look what happens. Look at the psak that he does. Look what he is. Chazal are so machmir. about the kavod in the year that you have for so many chamim. How if you're more halacha b'tnei rabo, you pass an halacha in front of your rabbi, chayev misa. It says kiach the roke. I don't know how to pronounce it. Kicho the reko roko b'tnei rabo. You spit or you do a nose thing in front of your rabbi. Chayev misa. Just come on, Erev and study Testament Aleph. Chayev misa for spitting in front of your rabbi. That mevayit bravosa. You kick your rabbi. It doesn't literally mean you take your foot and you kick him. It means you throw away what your rabbi says. Chayev misa. The Gemara in Chagiga daf Ha'amud Beis. It's crazy. Chayev misa. There's nothing that is that common. There's nothing that is on that level that is chayev misa that we say like that. You argue with your rebbe. You're like you're arguing the shechina. Gemara in Sanhedrin and Chelek. You're arguing the shechina. Come on. What does that mean? What are we doing? It's all because hemshich of Torah only comes through our rabban. It only comes through Talmid Chachamim. There's no other way for us to have it. We can have arguments. We can have our arguments on those Talmid Chachamim. We can have our arguments on the Rabbanim. That's fine. We can understand. We may say, you know what? I don't understand them fully. We say, I don't understand what they're talking about. And I understand that. And that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine to say, I don't understand them fully. You can say, doesn't the Torah say the opposite? Doesn't the Torah say something else entirely? You can say that. And that's perfectly fine. But nonetheless, when that person walks in the room, the person that you argue with, you don't agree with a single thing he says, the person that you say, I can't understand a single word, and the Torah says the opposite, when he walks in the room, you better stand up. I don't care what you argue with him. If he is that Talmud Chacham, then get up for him. That's number one. And when they do say something, and they have a halacha that they hold of, that they think this is the halacha, we're baffled to them. You might be the smartest guy in the world, and I could care less. If that's the way we paskin, and that's the way that the Rabbanim decided, you could argue all you want. You could have all the svaras you want. Go up to them and bring your arguments. Tell your argument over to them. But don't at all say, I'm going to make the decision for myself. I'm going to do it on my own because I think I'm good enough to do so. That's the awe of Talmid Chacham. So why am I bringing this up? Aside from the fact that I think it's important for everyone to know and the ideas behind it and everything, last week was a little bit different from today. I don't know why. It's interesting. Last week we had Rosh Chodesh. And in the Rosh Chodesh suit on Thursday, Rabbi Alter got up to speak. Rabbi Alter got up to speak. It was literally like Kriyas Yom Suf. Maybe it was because somebody started off beforehand to start speaking about him and everything like that. But I looked at the Beis Midrash table and I saw everyone get up and leave. Some of them had the wherewithal to be able to get up a little bit early so that Rabbi Alter didn't see them get up and leave. It's fine. Some of them got up bedavka when Rabbi Alter got up to start speaking. They saw Rabbi Alter. It had nothing to do with Rabbi Alter necessarily, but they got up, they saw that someone was speaking, they just said they got up and they went. Some people were unbelievable. I can't believe the amount of noise that they made for someone getting up in the middle when someone's speaking. The little scrape of the chair back. Walking around with a little tray, taking the tray and banging it on the garbage can, and then taking the tray and putting it on the other trays. I was amazed. That's not a Beis Midrash guy. That's not even a high school guy. That's a fourth grader. That's a fourth grader. You're going to go because someone's going to get up to speak? I don't agree with you whatsoever. Especially if it's a Rav, especially if it's a Talmud Chacham, especially if it may even be on the level of a Chacham. A great-great-great-grandson of the Chidush HaRim and the Sfas HaMes? I don't know. I wouldn't leave the room. I wouldn't. I wouldn't leave the room. It's not like you looked at him and you said, oh, that guy's not Chashuv. He looks Chashuv. He looks Chashuv. And yet people were willing to leave. If you're going to leave, okay, I understand. You might have other things to do. It better be important, especially if somebody on that type of caliber is going to speak. And it better be something that you couldn't do at any other time. Because to be honest with you, I don't understand how anybody could have left at that point. Anybody. But if you're going to leave, then at least make it silent and do it in the best way possible. So it's not an embarrassing way. For a person to speak to another guy about something else while Rabbi Alter was speaking, whether you wanted to listen to the speech or not, that's not befitting the kavod of a Talmid Chacham. And you know what? That's just kavod. Forget about the yira aspect involved. The awe of a Talmid Chacham is speaking right now. I should be in awe of him. If you lose that guy, what do you think is going from here? You think it's going to get better? When you get out of yeshiva and you're sitting around somewhere and somebody gets up to speak, you think then you're going to sit down and listen? You think then it's going to be easier for you to sit down in a chair? It's difficult. I know it's difficult. And I know that everyone thinks that they could speak better. I know it because I think the same way when I hear somebody speaking. I could do this better. I had a better raya. I have something better. I know it. I understand it. I completely understand it. Nonetheless, if he's up there, if he's speaking, give him not only the kavod he deserves, but the yira that he deserves. There should be nothing else going on. It's not going to be for that long. And even if it is, so make the decision beforehand. And say, I can't stay past X amount of time because I know he's speaking and I don't want to insult him by getting up in the middle of the speech. It blew me away. It's not how you act around anyone. Even if it's not even a Talmud Chacham, that's not due the respect of that person when he gets up and speaks. It's just not there. I felt so when I saw that. So, I don't even know what to say. I felt like there's something missing. Something missing. So I feel like this is something that everybody could work on. There are so many Rebbeim here who may very well be on the level of Chacham. And there's so many Rebbeim here who at least are on the level of Talmidei Chacham. There's so many other base Medrash guys / Kolo guys that may be on the level of Talmidei Chachamim or maybe even Chachamim who are here. They all deserve your respect and your awe. And if you feel you're better than them, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You shouldn't feel that way. No matter who you are, there's no way to think that way. Everybody deserves that respect and everybody deserves that awe. That doesn't mean you have to stand up for them. That doesn't necessarily mean you have to bring them a drink. It doesn't mean you have to shine their shoes while they're sitting there or say, like, Rebbe, can I take your to your friend? Obviously, I'm not saying that. But a respect, a small amount of respect and that little bit of awe for somebody who's sitting and learning Torah all day, for somebody who, like you, is doing the same, they deserve it, you deserve it, everybody here has that little bit, that tiny little bit of deservingness there. And think about this. When you go out and you stay there, are you the guy who's going to leave the speeches that the rabbi is going to make in shul because you want to go to Kiddush Club? Is that the type of guy you want to be? You want to be that guy who's going out there and taking a little bit of drink and having some whiskey while the rabbi's speaking about how to become a better person? Do you want to be that way? Because if you want to be that way, come on. That's not anyone. That's not normal people. Somebody who's got something wrong with them. Don't be that guy. The rabbi's going to speak, get in there. You don't agree with the speech? Go up to him and argue it. Don't be the guy who talks behind his back and says, I don't agree with the rabbi's speech. I don't think he ever says anything good. That's not the way to be. Go up. Argue the point. Say out your problems. And if he's mocking to you, great. Great. It doesn't make you a rug. It makes you a guy who just argued on a rug and was right. It's not the way to be. Learn how to be that type of person. That's all I want. I want everybody to think about that, to at least consider what they're going to do the next time something like that happens. The next time somebody gets up to speak and you're caught in the position of, I don't know what to do in this position. What do you do? What should you do? Think about it. It's a big, big concept. We'll stop at that, guys.